thank you, girls. I know I appreciate this. I was not expecting to get one, so thank you very much. We'll continue worship by the reading of Luke chapter 4.
Reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Hear the word of God found in the book of Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our Psalter reading today is Psalm 19. It can be found on page 750 of your hymnals. That's 750 in your hymnals. You're good. And, well, this is a big one. We'll be reading response 2. That's "Hear the commandments of life," wherever you see those red R's. Hear the commandments of life, give ear and learn wisdom. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In them God has set a tent for the sun, which comes forth like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and runs its course with joy like a strong man.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hid from its feet.
Hear the commandments of life, give ear and learn wisdom.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
Hear the commandments of life, give ear and learn wisdom.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward.
But who can understand one's own errors, clearly from the false.
Also keep your servant from the insolent, let them not have dominion over me.
Then I shall be blameless and innocent in the raging transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Hear the commandments of life, give ear and learn wisdom.
Amen. Hear now the word of God found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And then all the people came together in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of law, the book of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of God to the people of God. So this text, I think, is a lot of fun. We have in this text, Israel had come back to the homeland, and Nehemiah opens the book, opens the Torah, unrolls the scroll, and the people are overcome with joy that they start crying. They start weeping. Oh, there's a spider on my mic. They start weeping when they see the scroll. Nope, he's still crawling. All right, well, I'm going to step over here now.
They don't need much.
I was here yesterday, and I'm cleaning up around my pulpit because I'm kind of messy. And I lifted up my hymnal and I think the Bible, and like three spiders all came out. I'm like, well, I'm done, and then I went home. Okay. So we're going to stand over here now. All itchy and stuff. A couple of weeks ago, Carolyn Walters and I, and Luann Cox from Port Colden, went to a synagogue in North Philadelphia. And I've been trying to preach about this for a while because it was a great experience, but I was waiting for today. So, and we're going to do more interfaith work. It wasn't just the three of us, and it's not just in North Philadelphia. Through the parish, we're now talking about coming together, working together, especially with our brothers and sisters of other faith. But the thing that was interesting about the Shabbat service, to me, was what's called the Torah service. Did you, do you remember that part of the service where they actually brought this scroll out of?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was beautiful, right?
Yeah.
So I've done some research, and I figure, am I too loud? I can't tell. It seems loud to me. Is this okay?
No, it's fine.
Okay. So I did research to find out exactly what happens in the Torah service, because it was pretty impressive, I thought. And so the service starts with just general prayer, general singing, and then the Torah service is actually part of the Shabbat service. And it begins with the Ark of the Covenant, or just the Ark. And the Ark is held basically in front of their synagogue, where our cross is. Instead, would be a room that was behind a curtain. That is where the scroll actually lives. And so what they were doing is we were sitting down here in the pews, except they were just seats. And so we're watching them, and everyone's working up front there. And then the Ark of the Covenant is open, the curtain is drawn back, and everyone stands up in acclamation. The scrolls are taken out, and it's actually paraded around the congregation. I'm going to use our Bible to basically show what happened. They held the Bible, I'm going to close it, we're in Psalm 36. So they held the Torah up like this, and they marched around the congregation. Now everybody was standing at this point, and pretty much like what's happening now is we all turned around as the Torah was paraded behind us. The thinking is, you do not put your back to the Bible. You don't turn your back to the Word of God. You don't let the Word of God be behind you. You always want to be looking at it. You always want to be seeing it. And then as the Torah was paraded around, the Jewish men and women at the synagogue all wore what are called tallits, these prayer shawls. And at the end of the prayer shawls are these tzitzis, they call it, these tassels. And so as the Torah came around, they would touch the tzitzi, they would touch these tassels to the Torah and they'd kiss it. They'd touch their pew Bibles, their pew Torahs, they'd touch it to the scroll, and then they'd kiss it. Hopefully there's no spiders in this. We should really put this away after church. And then it's paraded to the front to kind of an altar. But it was a table in the middle where we work. It was a table where men and women gathered around to read the Torah. And the exciting part for me, and we're gonna keep using this for my sermon today. The cool part was there were children reading the Torah.
Oh yeah.
There were children standing there who were learning, who were going to Jewish school and are learning to read the Torah. And there were men and women from the congregation who were helping them. Who were saying, well, that's not how you pronounce that word. It's supposed to be pronounced like this, because they're reading it in Hebrew. And so we go through and we read like five chapters in Exodus. You think I pick long scripture readings? Five chapters in Exodus, all in Hebrew, so we had no idea what they were reading. I could pick up about every 10th word when they said Adonai Elohim, which means the Lord God. So about every 10th to 20th word, I'm like, okay, that's where we are, but I have no idea where we are. And so they're reading the Torah. They're actually using a pointer stick. So when you read, you don't get your fingerprints, you don't get smudges on the scroll. A sponsor, a parent, or a family member would kiss the Torah with their tallit, or with their tzitzi again, their tassels. They would kiss the Word of God because it was holy. And then as they were done, and my favorite part about the Torah service, somebody, and a strong somebody, because of how heavy those Torahs are, somebody would pick up the Torah and they'd hold it above their heads like this. And in Hebrew they said, "This is the Word of God." They showed the entire congregation the Word of God. They showed what we are looking at. They showed them this holy book. And then they paraded the book again, and the same thing in reverse. They put a cover on it and put the ark, not put the Torah not back into the ark, but they actually kept it on a chair nearby. Because the Torah doesn't leave us. The Bible doesn't leave us once we're done reading it. The Bible stays in worship. It stays there as we pray. It stayed there as we talked about what was going on in the community. It stayed close by. So that way, throughout the service, you could look at it and smile. You could look at it and remember that that is the Word of God. It is there in our presence. That was cool. And then eventually, they put it back into the ark as we were closing up. It was a heavy one. As we were closing up the service, they put it back into the ark. They put it back into their safe cabinet, and then we closed worship. I grew up in a high-ish church, I'll call it. When we talk about high-low church, we're talking about the casualness or the professionalness of church. You can tell I'm not high church. Although I've been trying to wear a robe, I just don't like the white one I have because I look like a marshmallow in it. I'm working on it. And I like to accessorize, and since I'm not ordained yet, I'm just licensed, I can't wear a stole, I can't wear any colors, so it's just a white robe, and I'm not comfortable with that yet.
Or black one,
that's what I'm working on next. Next annual conference. No, it's okay, I can afford one, it's getting it sized, that's my problem. In my home church, we had acolytes every Sunday, and I was an acolyte for a long, long time. I acolyted until I was a high school student, I was a senior in high school, they were still making me acolyte, but I was the only one who could carry that cross as high as I could, as tall as I could, and I've been doing it for a long time since then. And my favorite part about acolyting wasn't the cross, it wasn't the candle, because that's for a different time. We're going to talk about what the candle means and why we bring the light out of church. My favorite part was the Bible. Carrying the Bible in and out of church. Bringing the Word of God into this space, into this place of worship, and then carrying it out, not because worship was done, but carrying out because we are bringing the Word of God out into the community, out into the world. That is why I liked being an acolyte. That's why I liked what that meant. The candle and the cross and the Bible leaving worship was not to signify that worship was finished, but that we were going to keep doing it, that we were going to be Christians and Methodists outside of this church, into the community. And so the scripture this morning, this passage from Nehemiah, and I'm just going to be careful with this. There's a little bit of context we need to understand, because at first we just read this and we're like, oh, they got excited because the Torah was being read. That's not the case. For the past couple of months, we've been talking about the Jews. We've been talking about the Exodus. Not the Exodus, excuse me. We've been talking about the exile. That the Jews were kicked out of their home country. They were overrun by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And so this text comes at the end of the Babylonian exile. It had been 2 to 3 generations since the Jews had been kicked out of their homeland. And Nehemiah was one of the groups, one of the waves of refugees coming back into their country. It had been 2 to 3 generations since they last were able to worship God, since they were last able to publicly read their Bible, publicly read the Torah, the book of law from Moses. And I love what it says in verse 3. Ezra read it aloud from daybreak till noon. He read from the Bible. I can barely get away with an hour here. I've been getting yelled at from my last couple of weeks because I've not been watching the clock. Because people are like, you're going a little too long. And I'm like, I'll work on that. This week's not going to happen. This week we're going long too, probably. But it's not till noon. It's not 5 or 6 hours of worship like Ezra and Nehemiah and the wave of refugees coming back to their hometown was. It had been 2 generations since they could worship. 2 generations since they heard this word. And I'm sure what happened is their parents, their uncles, adults in the community were saying, there is a God. We are God's chosen people. You need to read his word. You need to listen to his word. His word is awesome. It shows that he loves us. But we can't read it because of the Babylonians. We can't read it because we are in exile, because our land has been overtaken. And so when they're going back to Israel, when they're getting ready, when they're making that march, I am sure they were getting excited. Maybe not, I don't know. But But the scripture tells them that they were excited once they read it. Once Ezra stood up and started reading the scroll, they yelled out, "Amen, amen. The Lord our God is good. Amen." They started to cry because they were finally able to read the Torah. They were finally able to open their scroll, to lift it up to everybody and say, "This is the word of God written for all of us." A couple of years ago, I went to the Grand Canyon alone. I'd always wanted to go. I had a lot of vacation time, and I was mad at my boss. So I took a week and went to the Grand Canyon. Then the following year, I brought my little brother, Noah. I say little, he's taller than I am, he's bigger than I am. I'm the runt of my family, but Noah is my little brother, he's my baby brother, and I bully him relentlessly. And so I had been talking about the Grand Canyon for about a year at this point. Dude, it was amazing, incomprehensible, I can't explain it. You have to go, you think you've seen it in pictures, it's nothing like that picture was. When you go there, it takes your breath away from its beauty. And so me and my brother went, we took a long weekend and went to the Grand Canyon. And we get there, and if you ever go with me or if you ever go to the Grand Canyon, talk to me first. There's a certain way to go to actually see the beauty of the Grand Canyon in the correct way, in my opinion. You go not from the south and go up, you actually come in from the east. You hit the Desert Watchtower. And if you get there at the right time before daybreak, you can actually watch the sunrise over the canyon, which is amazing. I haven't made that yet for the first time. It's always been the second day that I go out and watch the sunrise. So me and my brother, we fly from New York to Phoenix. We make the long 8-hour drive up to the Grand Canyon because we stop at a bunch of places. Again, talk to me if you're going to go to the Grand Canyon for the first time. And we get there and we're coming up. We park in the parking lot. And again, this parking lot is perfectly secluded. You can't see anything. You don't see anything until you cross over this little bit of a hill. And so I'm walking my brother with me. I'm like, "Come on, Noah, come on, it's right over here." And we get to this hill, and there's the full Grand Canyon open to us. And my brother goes, "Now, I talk a lot. I know that I'm a talker. That's why I'm a pastor. That's how I got this job. I talk. And I'm the talker of my family. Don't get me wrong. My family, when I leave, my family's like, there's a lot of stories I could tell about that one, but I don't have the time. My family are also talkers. It's just in comparison to me, not as much. I've never seen my brother speechless like that day. We ended up sitting on this park bench for probably 45 minutes, just watching the Grand Canyon, looking at the little trails of the people who are going down to the river, looking at the purple, I don't even know what, on the far side of the rim.
Purple Mountain Majesty.
Yeah, there is something about the light in those canyons that it turns purple. Trying to glance and find the river, we still couldn't see it. It was too far down. Looking at the far expanse, miles and miles away, looking at these little trails that are going down there, and my brother is sitting there with me, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the beauty, overwhelmed by all the buildup I tried to do, and it still wasn't enough. It still wasn't enough to explain the awesomeness of that place. The sacredness and holiness of that sight, that amazing feature of God. And so maybe that's what the Jews were going through. They waited so long that they wept. They wept so much that the priest said, "Stop crying. Verse 9, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Yes, it is a beautiful place. Yes, it is a beautiful scripture. Yes, our God loves us, and this is proof of it. But do not be overcome with sadness. Do not cry or weep because we are here. Instead, go out and celebrate. Go out and eat choice food. Eat food that is